Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Your Health Quickly, a Scientific American podcast series.
We bring you the latest vital health news, discoveries that affect your body and your mind.
And we break down the medical research to help you stay healthy. I'm Tanya Lewis.
I'm Josh Fishman.
We're Scientific American's senior health editors.
Today, we are delving into the disease originally known as chronic fatigue syndrome. Now it's called ME/CFS. Recently, a big study looked at people who got the illness after an infection, and it turned up a few clues about what might be causing their debilitating and often lifelong symptoms.
The disease, once called chronic fatigue syndrome, has historically been dismissed by doctors and other healthcare professionals as a psychosomatic illness without any real physiological causes. But in recent years, researchers have begun to take the disease, whose official name is now myalgic encephalomyelitis / chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME/CFS for short, more seriously.
That really is a mouthful, and I'm not even going to try it, but Tiny, what does it mean?
Well, it comes from myalgia, which means muscle pain, and encephalomyelitis, which is inflammation of the brain and spinal cord due to an infection. And while it's sometimes referred to as just chronic fatigue syndrome, people with ME/CFS prefer to call it ME because it's really more than just fatigue.
And during the COVID pandemic, millions of people developed something that was very, very similar to ME/CFS symptoms, and that's long COVID. So scientists started taking that a lot more seriously. Even before the pandemic, I know the National Institutes of Health was starting to study ME/CFS.
Yeah, that's right. So Francis Collins, who was the director of NIH at the time, approached a scientist named Avindra Nath and asked him to launch a comprehensive study of people with ME/CFS to really try and find some clues as to what was causing their exhausting symptoms.
Yeah, like you said, in addition to fatigue, there's a whole bunch of other very serious problems.
People with ME/CFS often experience brain fog, hypersensitivity to light, and short-term memory problems. And another really common issue is something called post-exertional malaise. It's basically a worsening of your symptoms after any kind of physical activity. And there really aren't any good treatments for it.
I've known some people with ME/CFS, and it can be really devastating.
Yeah, it really can. So starting in 2016, Avi and his colleagues set out to study this, but since ME/CFS is sort of an umbrella term for a wide array of disease forms, they wanted to find a group of people who fit a very specific patient profile. They specifically recruited people who had developed the disease after an infection, and they also had to be well enough to travel to NIH for the experiments. They ended up with a total of 17 participants with ME/CFS and 21 healthy volunteers. Next, they set about putting the participants through a whole series of tests of pretty much every organ system.
I'm Avi Nath. I'm the clinical director of the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, and also the chief of the section of infections of the nervous system. We did a very thorough investigation, looking at MRI scans, cognitive function. We did spinal taps, lots of blood draws at various time points. We looked at the immune function, metabolomics. We looked at the gut microbiome. We looked at their heart rates and blood pressures and autonomic function.
I know that it was a really complete workup. What did they find?
A lot of this is described in an online news story written by Kamal Nahas, which we'll link to in the transcript. Here's Avi.
We found that there were multiple systems that were involved. There wasn't a single abnormal observation. We found that there were a number of abnormalities. One, we found that there was activation of the immune system in the ME/CFS patients.
It was almost like the immune system was exhausted from being chronically activated.
And interestingly, we found that there were differences between men and women, such that women had predominantly B-cell pathways that were activated, and in men it was predominantly T-cell. And so that in itself is a very important observation because it tells us that what may work for women may not work for men.
ME/CFS occurs predominantly in women, but men can obviously get it too, so treatment could look different for men versus women. The researchers also found differences in the brains and nervous systems of people with ME/CFS.
We found a lot of abnormalities in the metabolites and the neurotransmitters. We tested the brain in many different ways by stimulating the brain with transcranial magnetic stimulation and a functional MRI scan, and whereby you can look at the metabolism of the brain in a resting state and when you exercise the brain. In order to exercise the brain, we did a simple motor task. We found that the motor cortex itself was fine, but there's an area of the brain that integrates all the information together, and it's at the junction of the temporal and the parietal lobe. And we found that that was inactive. And it's not a structural abnormality, it's a functional abnormality.
Avi says this functional brain abnormality might explain the post-exertional malaise that many people with ME/CFS experience. But it's a pretty preliminary finding.
Right. That doesn't really seem like it would explain the whole story.
Right. Probably not. I actually talked to one of the study participants, a journalist named Brian Vostok.
Oh, Brian is actually a friend of mine. He's the reason that NIH started doing this study, because he wrote a op-ed in the Washington Post complaining that scientists weren't studying ME/CFS enough.
That's really interesting. I know he's been a big activist for people with ME/CFS.
I've known Brian for a long time. I've known him before he got sick and after he got sick. And I can tell you, it's made a huge difference in his life. He was a great journalist, and then he couldn't do that anymore. He's a really bright, very curious, and very intelligent person. And all of a sudden, he just didn't have this body that would let him follow through with the things that he wanted to find out about, because, you know, he just didn't have the physical ability. It was kind of like having this really bright mind locked in this body that wouldn't work anymore. And he doesn't really know what caused it.
I had a sudden fever, you know, basically went from being well to being sick in like 5 minutes. It was very stark.
He actually had a false positive test for West Nile virus, but they never actually found the true pathogen. And I asked him what he thought about the study.
I don't think he was too thrilled about the results that Nath was talking about before.
The findings were pretty meager, just so conflicted about how the study turned out.
Yeah, I mean, he's glad they did the study, but he didn't really think it found a whole lot that was new. He also took issue with the fMRI findings, which he thought was not an appropriate test and was only based on a handful of participants. Overall, though, the study just may have been too small to draw strong conclusions. That said, he did think the study helps validate that ME/CFS is a real illness with real biological causes. And that's important, given that many doctors still dismiss people with the disease, and we don't really have that many treatments.
Okay, that's Brian. What about Avi? Does Avi think the study will help lead to potential treatments?
Avi really hopes that this will lead to treatments. Even though the study didn't find so-called autoantibodies, which are a sign that the body is attacking itself, like some studies have found, it did find signs of B and T cell wonkiness, if you will. And the treatments could depend on your sex. So in women, you could try things like checkpoint inhibitors, which are used as a type of immunotherapy for cancer. And for men, you might be able to try various T-cell therapies.
I feel like they need to do treatment trials. Like, that needs to be the next step. Patients are desperate and patients need treatment. And we can't just wait to figure out the entire pathophysiology. Like, we need to start.
So researchers are already testing some of these therapies.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they're starting. But what about long COVID? Could this research benefit people with that?
Yeah, it might. There's certainly a lot more interest in these conditions now, given how many people have long COVID.
That's really important because ME/CFS and long COVID both take a real toll. They ruin lives.
I want people to know that this is a matter of life and death. You know, you try 100 different medicines and nothing ever helps you. It's really hard to keep going.
Your Health Quickly is produced by Timmy Broderick, Talika Bose, Jeff DelVisio, and by us. It's edited by Ella Fetter and Alexa Lim. Our music is composed by Dominic Smith.
Our show is part of Scientific American's podcast, Science Quickly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, give us a rating or a review. And if you have a topic you want us to cover, you can email us at yourhealthquickly@sciam.com. That's yourhealthquickly@sciam.com. Just a quick request, my colleague Lauren Young and I are working on a podcast series on caregiving for older family members and the challenges of navigating care at home versus institutional care. We're hoping to speak with people who have experience caring for their own family members. Please email yourhealthquickly@sciam.com with the subject caregiving if you're interested. For Your Health Quickly, I'm Tanya Lewis.
And I'm Josh Fishman.
See you next time.